Central to being a parish community is to read the Word of God, to reflect on it, and then to respond to it. And during the Lenten season, the theme is Conqueror, Overcomers with Christ. And the reason why we go through this Lenten season of 40 days is an imitation of the 40 days and nights that the Lord engaged in a fast in the desert. And so we kind of strip ourselves from familiar things so that we can focus on preparing to renew our baptismal promises at Easter. We have no flowers here in the sanctuary as the Universal Church directs. The music is used, instrumental music is only used to support singing as the Universal Church directs. We do not sing the Alleluia as the gospel acclamation. We do not sing the Gloria, not because we don't want to glorify God or to praise God, but to kind of save ourselves up for giving a great hymn of praise to the Lord on the Easter Sunday of the resurrection. Some things change in our worship so that we can focus on that important renewing of our baptismal promises on Easter Sunday, that we are resolved to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who draws us into the life of the Holy Trinity, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and who makes us members of one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And in reaffirming our baptismal promises, we renounce sin and we refuse to be mastered by it. So the theme of conqueror, overcomers with Christ means the Lord Jesus Christ has won a victory for us that not only means heaven, which is very important, but there are aspects of his victory that we experience here and now. And so I talked about overcoming temptation with Christ. We want to refuse to be invited to sin. We want to die to sins we have committed. We want to repent from them. But if we have been overcome by temptation, we can be forgiven by the Lord. On the second Sunday, I spoke about overcoming the fear of failing as a disciple. For when we have sinned, the devil wants to tempt us and say, no use to try to live as a Christian. You're now compromised. And yet the Lord says, not so. We should not fear failure as a disciple. If we have sinned, we repent. And then the Lord says, rise and do not be afraid to continue to walk in his footsteps, listening to his teaching, conforming our lives to it, and to the Lord's example. Now on this third Sunday, I want to speak about overcoming a painful past with Christ. And I want us to understand some things to manage some expectations. First of all, that when we talk about a painful past, one example is grief. And in one sense, one can never overcome grief. We love our loved ones who have died and have gone to God. Grief is experienced in different ways over time. And I'm a witness to that. This month will be the anniversary of my father's death. And certainly I experience grief in a different way now than I did when I was a junior in high school in 1984. The other expectation I want to manage is that some trauma that happens in our lives cannot be resolved by a simple homily or even seeking spiritual guidance from me or anybody else. Sometimes we may need psychological counseling, and to seek that is not against faith. Indeed, God can heal through psychological counseling in concert with prayer, in concert with spiritual counseling. So we do want to manage these expectations as we speak about overcoming a painful past. Here I'm kind of linking it to the first two Sundays, overcoming temptation and not being discouraged when we're overcome by temptation, and overcoming the fear of being of failing as a disciple. Because when we talk about a painful past, we're more talking about bad consequences that have come from bad decisions that we have made or that have been made by others that affect us. And again, we can choose to be better people learning lessons from the experience, or we can become embittered people. And then embittered people then want to be hateful towards other people. They want to be sarcastic. They want to just let that bitterness continue to eat away at their lives. And the Lord says it doesn't have to be that way. In the gospel reading, the meeting of Jesus with the Samaritan woman was not a chance encounter from the Lord's standpoint. But from a human perspective, several factors made such a meeting unlikely to happen. First of all, the women of that region would usually come to Jacob's well earlier in the morning to avoid the afternoon heat. You had to carry those containers of water back home. However, this woman in the gospel comes at noon. Secondly, men did not speak with women, usually the women who were not relatives, in public, according to the social conventions of that time. Third, Jesus was a Jew, and the woman was a Samaritan. And both groups had come from the original people of God, whom God had liberated from Egypt. They were delivered from slavery, and they were being led to the promised land. However, once they got settled, there became a rift between the people of God after Babylon had taken over. The land had exiled Jews into Babylon, and the people who had become the Samaritans had a different approach to the exile. Jews wanted to maintain cultural and religious identity by remaining distinct. Samaritans kind of went along to go along, and sometimes the purity of the faith was affected. And so therefore, Jews and Samaritans became separate. Jews certainly saw the center of their worship as the temple in Jerusalem, where the Ark of the Covenant was located. And Samaritans said Mount Gerizim was the center of their worship, several hundred miles north of Jerusalem. But that's where they were, on that mountain, Gerizim, in which Jesus is talking with the Samaritan woman. And her conversation with Jesus revealed that she was thirsting to have a vital relationship with God. But she attempted to satisfy it improperly. God has created each of us with an inherent desire to share life and love with him. Any attempt to deny that on our part will mean seeking to quench our thirst apart from God in other ways, and it will leave us to remain thirsty. The Samaritan woman had her priorities out of place. Placing our love for God is central to our existence. It will help us to love ourselves and others appropriately. However, we may make someone or something our God if the Lord God is not at the center of our lives. And this is what happened to the Samaritan woman. She made her relationship with men the foundation upon which she would love herself. Indeed, it probably was a patriarchal society. And yet, the woman probably identified herself solely with the relationship she had. And her self-esteem was linked to it. But it did not work. Her first marriage failed. Then she had four attempted marriages that also failed. And so she was rejected five times. And now she was cohabitating with another man. And she had come to Jacob's well alone at noon to avoid the gossip of the other women who would come to Jacob's well, who would speak about her in a negative way. She had a bad reputation among her fellow townspeople. And so she believed what they believed. They thought that she could not change, and therefore she was bound by a sorrowful complacency. And it led her to originally ignore the thirst that she had for God. She thought that her life was so messed up that God would not want to approach her. I'm really amazed, after decades of being a priest, to talk with people who come to worship in church, and they say, "Lord, have mercy." And they say, "Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world." But they act as if there's an exception clause with their name on it. They're bound by a painful past. And the Lord does not want us to go forward in life looking backwards. For we will not be able to grasp the opportunities the Lord wants us to walk in freedom as we go forward in life. Same thing for the Samaritan woman. Jesus was about to help her realize that it was not too late. And Jesus says the same thing to all of us. We thirst for loving fellowship with God that will show us how to love ourselves and others. But God is also thirsting. He's thirsting for us to have faith in him. Imagine this image of Jesus waiting at Jacob's well for the Samaritan woman to arrive. When she does, we see that God chooses to be thirsty for us to have faith. And we do not have to wait until we think that we have it all together before a relationship with God can begin. That's one of the damaging things when we hold on to a painful past and we think God does not want to relate with us. When God extends the invitation to share fellowship with him, he accepts us as we are. But it is also due to his love for us that God does not want to leave us as we are. Can you imagine what would have happened to the Samaritan woman if her life remained unchanged by her meeting with the Lord Jesus? She could have ended the conversation by saying, "You're right. I had five husbands. I'm living with someone now. Thank you. Goodbye." But she continued to engage in a frank conversation with the Lord. And the Lord conveyed in a frank conversation with her about her true identity. She did not have to hold on to a painful past. She could grasp to a promising future that the Lord had given to everyone. But he offers it for us to believe it and to receive it. Before the Samaritan woman met Jesus, she thought that she could not change. She was mired in a succession of failed relationships. Her life was marred by a bad reputation in the town. And when she allowed Jesus to break through her isolation, she realized that she could not ignore her thirst for God any longer. And so she allowed God, in Christ, to pour the living water of his steadfast love and generous mercy into her life. And as a result, she could no longer settle for letting her past define her. And she was not going to settle for allowing people to do that to her either. And she left her water jar, a symbol of leaving that past behind, and cooperated with God in being decisive to experience his saving power. She was willing to undergo conversion, which began at that point and would continue past that point. It was not settled at that point. If we hold on to a painful past and define our lives by it, instead of learning from it and moving forward with our lives, then we will lose faith that God can accomplish in us what he accomplished in the Samaritan woman. And what the woman did was that after she had started to experience healing from Jesus, she wanted to share this good news with others. She could have remained embittered and said, "They talked about me. They gave me a bad reputation." But instead, she said, "I've been blessed by God and I cannot keep it to myself." She chose to leave her painful past behind. She chose to leave bitterness behind. She even forgave those who had gossiped about her. The sacraments are important encounters with Christ that he has given to us through his passion, death, and resurrection to help us to live according to our true identity. And if unconfessed sin is part of a painful past, the Lord has given us the sacrament of penance and reconciliation to help us to leave that behind. It's a real encounter with God's mercy. God thirsts for us to believe it. We examine our consciences and humbly confess our sins. And through the ministry of the priest, Jesus Christ himself comes and forgives us of our sins and gives us a fresh start. And then we're called to be signs of his love and mercy in the lives of others. But if holding on to a painful past means you have already confessed these sins in the sacrament of reconciliation, it's time for you to accept what God has done. God has forgiven you, and God has chosen to forget it. You may still deal with the consequences of those bad choices, but that's not because God has not decided to forget. It's because choices do have consequences. But now we deal with those consequences with a new point of view. We're supposed to be conquerors in Christ to overcome even a painful past. But it involves having a frank conversation with the Lord and allowing the Lord to have a frank conversation with us. And in both ways, there are an expression of love, a desire to live in union with one another. And then we experience transformation. And like the woman at the well, we choose to leave the past behind. We put that water jar right at the well and leave. And if we're going to overcome a painful past, then we don't need to come back and get it. If it comes back again, we need to pray, "I left that with Jesus, and I'm not going to take it back.